Good morning. Does anybody have a hymn they'd like to sing this morning? Number 5. Ask the Lord's help. Our God and Father, we give thanks this morning for this time we can come together to sing praises and hymns to the Lord Jesus, and we just give thanks for the death of the Lord Jesus and the blood that was shed to wash our sins away. And we give thanks for that happy day that we have when we are saved, and that happiness that goes on. We just ask that if anyone does not know the Lord as their Savior, that they might have a happy day today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Does someone else have a song they'd like to sing this morning? Anybody?
40.
Okay, that sounds number 40. We'll sing the first and the last. Jesus loves me,
and I know.
Yes, Jesus loves me, the
at our house that we were staying in Africa, it was raining very hard. We have a tin roof, and it makes a lot of noise. And so you can't hear things that are going on outside. Well, that night, the watchman, he decided he was going to break into the other house that was on the property. We had bars on the window, so you couldn't get in, but he was able to break the bar somehow or cut it, and he was able to get into the house and steal a couple of things that the landlord had stored in there. But he did that in the dark. We know that people love darkness rather than the light because they do bad things. Does someone else have a song you'd like to sing? Yes.
42.
Number 42, thank you. A little
Trust
tell you a story about another boy. The mother and the father, they had bought food and they had it stuff put in the refrigerator, and they had some bread in the refrigerator. And each day it seemed like the bread was getting less and less. Well, this boy, he had been getting up at nighttime when everybody was sleeping, and he'd go in and he'd eat the bread. And the mother would wonder, where is the bread going? And they couldn't figure it out. And then one night they found that their boy was there eating the bread at night. Oh, so they had to punish their son because he was doing these bad things. And he had to eat bread 3 meals a day for a week. He couldn't eat anything else. But he did that at nighttime when nobody else was watching, because people like the darkness, because they do bad things in the dark. Someone else have a song they'd like to sing? Yes. 46. Glad
to
people, we do bad things because we are sinners. But Satan also makes people do bad things. I know when I was at a funeral once in Africa, and you see that Satan controls people very much at funerals. And this girl, she was being held by two other people because she was having some fits and uncontrolled. And they finally had to let her go, and she got down on the ground and she was barking like a dog. She was possessed by a demon. And we sometimes call those bad things that the devil makes people do, we call it spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness, or we call it the darkness of the world. Maybe we could sing one more. I think this little boy had his number. 44? Okay, we'll sing the first and the last. 44.
Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day.
Some of you know a man named Paul. He was in the Bible. And Paul had a friend. His name was Silas. And they were out speaking to people in the town. And they were telling them about Jesus Christ. And the people, they didn't like Jesus Christ. And so they took Paul and they took Silas and they took him to prison. And before they put them in prison, they took some ropes, some whips, and they whipped them on their backs 39 times on their back. And their back was bloody and their backs were all sore. And then they took them and gave them to the prison keeper. And the prison keeper took them and pushed them into the prison and took them down into the deepest, darkest prison and put them there and left them in the darkness. It wasn't a nice place to be in the darkness. Then they put their feet and their hands and their feet in the stocks. That's they in blocks. They tie them up so, in chains so they can't get away. And they had to sit there like that all night. They couldn't lay down because their backs were all bleeding and sore. And so they sat there. What could they do in the darkness? And so they started to sing praises to the Lord Jesus, like we have been doing this morning, singing praises to God. Well, the other prisoners, they heard them. The jailer, he heard him. And about midnight, their singing stopped because there was a great earthquake. And the earthquake shook the whole prison. And it shook the doors and the doors fell open. And their chains fell off of their stocks, their bonds. And they were able to get out. They were loose. But they didn't leave the prison. But the jailer, he didn't know. He didn't know that everybody was still there. So he was going to kill himself. And so he got a big sword. And he had the sword in front of him. He was going to fall on the sword. And the sword was going to go right through him and kill himself. He thought life was getting too bad. But Paul and Silas, they called out to him and said, "Sir, don't kill yourself. Don't do any harm to yourself." And so the jailer, he called for a light. He said, "Bring me a light." He didn't like the darkness. He called for a light. And he came in to see Paul and Silas. And he fell down and he was trembling. He says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The answer came, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." Believe. How many of you boys, how many of you girls have believed? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. It's that easy. Believe that you are a sinner, and that Jesus had to die for your sins. And He shed His blood to take away your sins. I want to talk a little bit about darkness. Let's go over to Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10. And in these chapters here, the children of Israel were stuck in Egypt. They were slaves. They were being forced to do hard labor, hard work. And God found a man called Moses. And He told Moses that He was going to deliver His people, Israel. And Moses went to Pharaoh and said, God says to let my people go because we are going to worship our Lord, our God. And so Pharaoh says, "I don't know who your God is. You just get back to work." And so he made them work even harder. But then God sent 10 plagues to the land of Egypt. And one of those plagues was darkness. And let's read about this in Exodus chapter 10 and verse 20. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thy hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. There was a lot of spiritual darkness in Egypt. They worshipped a lot of different gods. There were a lot of demons in Egypt. God made everybody to be in the physical darkness. Darkness that could be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. And they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Is anybody here afraid of the dark? Some of us are. But we won't admit it. We don't want others to know that we're afraid of the dark. Well, here in Egypt, it was very dark. It was darkness that could be felt. Darkness that made the tingles go up and down your spine and make you feel very uncomfortable. It was darkness that could be felt. And they were terrified. They couldn't even get up out of their chair because they couldn't find their chair. It was so dark in their house. They couldn't get up and go out to the bathroom because they would never find their way back. It was just too dark. And they were afraid in their darkness. I used to live in Minnesota, and they have big snowstorms. And when the snow snows and the winds blows, you can't see anything. And people get lost 30 feet away from their house. They can't find the door to their house because the snow is too much. They can't see. And they die freezing out in the snow because they can't find their way to the door. And that's how it was here in Egypt in the darkness. And they were terrified. They couldn't find their way. And so they just stayed right in their house. But Israel, the children of Israel, in their houses, they had light in their houses. How many of you children have light in your house? We can turn the lights on. We got lights here. We turn the lights on. But what about spiritual light? Do you have spiritual light in your house? We're told that God says, Thy word is light. The Bible is light. Do you have the Bible in your house?
Yeah.
Does your dad or your mom read the Bible to you? Ah, you have light in your house. The children of Israel, they had light in their house. If anybody has a mommy or daddy who doesn't read their Bible to them, you need to ask them, Can you read the Bible to me? You need to have the light every morning or every evening, at least once a day. Because when you go out to school or you go out to work, oh, there's spiritual darkness in the world. Because the darkness of the world, it doesn't like Jesus. The spiritual darkness of the world hates Jesus. Just like they did with Paul and Silas. They took them and they threw them into the prison because they don't like Jesus. Parents, you need to read the Bible to your children before they go to school. You need to give them light. They need to know that Jesus is the light, that Jesus will protect them. Because when they go to school, they're going to learn all sorts of things that you don't want them to learn. And so you need to give them that light in their homes. If you have light in your house, other people can see the light, because this world is a dark place. And when you have Christ, your neighbors, they should be able to see that you have light, that you have Jesus Christ. How about your mom and your dad? Do they know that you have light? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know, if you were to die tomorrow, think about that. What would it be like if you died tomorrow? What would your mom and your dad think? Would they know that you are saved? Or would they, at the funeral, would they say, "Oh, I really don't know. I really don't know if he was saved. I really don't know if she was saved." They never said anything. Sometimes they did things that we couldn't tell if they were saved or not. They would eat the bread out of the refrigerator at night. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Does your mom and dad know? Why don't you tell your mom and dad? Say, "Mom, I know the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for me. I accepted Him as my Savior." You need to tell your mom and dad so they know. We don't want to be in the darkness. At this time in Egypt, when darkness came over the land that could be felt, I want to look at a verse in Psalm 78 that tells us more about this day, these days that were dark. Psalm chapter 78 and verse 49. And on those days when there was darkness there, it says that God cast upon them the fierceness of His anger, wrath and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. Oh, God sent the demons in the darkness. And they terrified the people. It was darkness that could be felt. And the demons terrified the people. They were afraid. You know, when we go to a funeral in Africa, it's a terrifying thing. The first one I listened to, it was frightening to hear them wailing. I'm not going to wail for you. But it's a loud, shrill wail. And they all come from all areas. The one little boy, he was about young man, he was 14 years old. I had taken him up to the hospital up in the top of the mountain in Livingstonia Mountain. He was sick. And we took him to the hospital. 2 days later, we went back up to see how he was. And he was dead. So we put him in the back of our pickup truck and brought him down the mountain to the village. The mother was in the back of the truck. She was wailing as we approached the village. Everybody knew the boy had died. They put the body into the house. And all the people from the village started coming towards the house, all wailing. And all the women would go into the house. And they're all wailing really loud. And it's frightening to hear that. I wanted to get out of there. The demons control the people. And they're afraid. And they're afraid that the spirit of the little boy, of the young boy, they're afraid the spirit was going to come and get them. And so they go into the house and they wail to try to be at peace with that spirit. The darkness on this night was terrifying. Let's look at Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 10. If any of you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you die without Christ, you are going to experience a darkness that can be felt. Revelation 16 and verse 10. The fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed, or they chewed, they bit their tongues for pain. In hell, it's not a happy place. There's sorrow, there's pain, there's fear, there's wailing, there's crying, there's gnashing of your teeth. There's anger and hatred toward God. There's a conscience that you have, that you know you sat in this room this morning. You know you have an opportunity now to accept Christ as your Savior. But in hell, you will know that you refused. And you will be in darkness for eternity. When I was living in Nebraska, there's some terrifying moments when you live in Nebraska or Kansas, when the tornadoes go through. You can see it coming along the horizon. It gets very dark. And when the wind blows and the hail blows and it gets dark in the middle of the day, it can be terrifying. Well, I was driving a truck. When you're in a truck, you're way high above everything, above the road. And I was driving when one of these storms came by. And it was in the middle of the day. It should have been bright and sunny. But it got dark. I couldn't see a thing. And I'm driving along the road. I'm up so high I can't see the road. It was too dark. And too much rain. And too much wind. And the whole truck was just shaking. I was afraid the tornado would pick it up and flip it over. And so I just sat there in the truck, in the middle of the road, hoping that nobody else would drive into me. It was a fearful thing. It was frightening to go through a tornado. The Lord Jesus, He went through a storm that was worse than that. He went through the darkness on the cross of Calvary because He wanted to take the darkness away from you. He doesn't want you to go into that place of hell where there is darkness, where you will gnaw your tongue for pain, where you will have no hope of getting out. Jesus Christ, He loves you. And He took the darkness, He took the pain, He took the punishment for your sin. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, we're told that Jesus tasted death for everyone. That means He tasted death for you. You don't have to die the death of hell. You don't need to be punished for your sins. Jesus took all the punishment for you. His blood was shed to take away every sin. But when Jesus was hanging there on the cross, all my sin was laid on Jesus. And Jesus took the punishment. He took the suffering. Jesus suffered for my sins during those 3 hours of darkness. Sometimes we talk about the sufferings, the physical sufferings of Christ. When He was beaten, He was whipped, He was punched in the face, and they put thorns in His head, and they took a stick, and they beat Him on the head, and those thorns were pressed into His head. And they spit at the Lord Jesus. And we can get some idea of how that might feel. It gives us an idea of the suffering of the Lord Jesus. Because without that, we would have no idea of what suffering that He went through. We don't know what Jesus suffered when He was on that cross during those 3 hours of darkness. He suffered in the darkness. Because God put our sin on Jesus. And Jesus tasted death for everyone here. He tasted death for you. Sometimes people think that it was those sufferings, the beatings, the cruelty. They think that was the suffering that took away our sins, but it's not. It was during those 3 hours of darkness. That was the suffering that God put on Jesus Christ, our sins, our punishment. That was the suffering that took away our sins. While Jesus was hanging on the cross, out of the darkness, He suffered more than any man. Out of the darkness, His visage, His countenance, His appearance was changed more than any man. And out of the darkness, Jesus cried. He said, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me?" Jesus was nailed to the cross, his hands and his feet. He could not get down. He was held there by love. By love for you, by love for me. Because he does not want us to go through that darkness. And he could not come down. He was held there by his love. Maybe you have some problems in your life. Maybe you don't. But when you have some problems in your life that are very big, you feel like you are stuck and you can't get down. You can't get away from your problems. You see no way out of it and you can't endure it anymore. And you feel like a basket case. Jesus knows exactly how you feel. Suffering in the darkness. What is a basket case? Well, the definition of a basket case is a person who has no arms and no legs. They can't walk, they can't do anything, they can't go anywhere. One day in Malawi, I saw a man like that. He had no legs, he had no arms. And he was tied on the rack, on the back of a bicycle. They wrapped up these rubber cords around and tied him on the bike. And all you could see was his head there, looking around. And that man could smile. He had a dark life. Sometimes we go through darkness in our life. And the Lord Jesus, he wants us to be a light in the shining darkness. Can you smile in the darkness? Let's go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." If you walk in the darkness of your sin, if you live your life in this world in the darkness of sin, you will suffer the darkness of hell for eternity. But Jesus doesn't want that. He wants you to be saved today. And so we have the verse we started with. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess to Jesus, "I am a sinner. I can't save myself. I trust you as my Savior." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus wants to give you a life so you can be a light in the world. So you can tell others about Jesus. So you can do the work of an evangelist and tell people about Christ who was crucified for their sins. Tell them about his blood that was shed to wash away their sins. You can be a light in this dark world. Let's go to Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said in John chapter 8 verse 12, we read, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Now in this verse, verse 14, it says, "You are the light of the world." Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Then you are a light. We need to let our light shine in the darkness. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now this verse says to to let your light shine. Boys and girls, how can you let your light shine? What can you do so your light will shine? I know one thing that the Bible tells you to do. You don't even need to think about it because the Bible tells you what to do. It says, children, obey your parents. I like that verse. I didn't like it so much when I was a child because I like to do my own thing. But that's something that you can do to be a light. When your mom asks you to do something, do it. Because it can be a light. But when we say, well, I'll do it later, or we just ignore it, well, then our light isn't shining. But when we can obey our mom, we obey our dad, then our light shines. And then our parents can see by the way we live our life. They can know that you are saved because your light is shining. Do they see light in you? Ask yourself this question. Ask yourself, does my mom or does my dad, do they see light in me? Do they know that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? I want you to do two things after this Sunday school. Number one, let your light shine. Number two, tell somebody that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can tell me. You can tell your grandma, your grandpa, or your mom and dad. But tell somebody. Tell somebody, I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And then let your light shine as you go through your life. I think we have time for one more song. Who has a song you'd like to sing? Number four. We'll sing the first and the last. Christ is the Savior of sinners.
Christ is the Savior for me.
Father, thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. We give thanks that He went through death and darkness and suffering and punishment on the cross for us. We just pray that the children and the older ones, that we'd all let our light shine and tell others about Jesus. And Father, if there's anyone here who doesn't know the Lord as their Savior, we just ask that there would be conviction in their hearts, that they might come to know Jesus as their Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.